Welcome to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast, informing, encouraging, and supporting your church. Your hosts are Michael Martin and Dan Busby from ECFA.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast by ECFA. This is Michael Martin, and I'm joined again today by my co-host and president of ECFA, Dan Busby.
Thanks, Michael. It's exciting to be back with another great podcast episode. In just a few months since we started recording, we've already seen thousands of churches download the podcast and take advantage of this new resource.
That's right. We so appreciate everyone who has listened in already and helped spread the word for us. I would say if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast. You can do that on iTunes. Be sure to send the podcast link to a friend, or even share it on social media. And we also say we always love hearing from our listeners. So if you have topic ideas or even questions that you'd like answered in future episodes of the podcast, it's really as easy as emailing podcast@ecfa.org.
Speaking of great topics, Michael, I believe today's topic is vitally important for every church in America. Every church must deal with expense reimbursements. So we're talking about common keys to success when it comes to expense reimbursements of church leaders. So we'll frame the discussion today around expense reimbursements for pastors, because they're most often the leaders being reimbursed by the church. But the very same principles also apply to reimbursements made to other church staff members.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And so we know that the reality is it's not uncommon at all for pastors or other church leaders to really spend up to several thousands of dollars each year on church-related business-type expenses. Things like study materials, ministry supplies, you know, meals for church members, there's transportation costs, personal auto mileage, and so much more. And, you know, just a word at the beginning, expense reimbursements may seem like a boring or a dry topic at first, but at ECFA, we receive so many questions on this topic that we thought it definitely merited an episode here on the podcast. So while it might be tempting to think of expense reimbursements as something that might be simple or straightforward at first, it's really not as easy as it appears. So, Dan, why don't you paint the big picture for us on this topic?
Well, Michael, I like to think what success looks like with church expense reimbursements, and then what failure looks like. Let me explain. Expense reimbursement success is all about clarity. Clarity, and this begins with a clear policy. Every church should have a board-approved accountable expense reimbursement policy. You know, this is the framework within which the church treasurer functions. Clarity is important with respect to the expense substantiation that should be submitted. It's important regarding the time period in which a church considers an expense reimbursement submitted in a timely manner. Success in expense reimbursements is simply positive communication between the pastors and the church treasurer, a relationship of trust. On the other hand, here's what I think failure looks like in expense reimbursements. Pastors only providing reporting, not substantiation. Pastors turning in expenses that do not qualify as church business expenses. Pastors asking for mileage reimbursement, including non-qualifying commuting mileage. And pastors that do not turn in expenses in a timely manner. You know, these scenarios lead to friction between the pastors and the church treasurer, sometimes even hard feelings, and the lack of trust. This is not good for any church.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's a helpful way to frame it in terms of what a picture of success looks like and also what the picture of failure might look like. So that's a very, very helpful overview. And, you know, at ECFA, we have gone a long way in addressing many of these issues recently through a couple of great resources. First, through an ebook, The 5 Essentials to Excellence in Reimbursing Ministerial Expenses, and also a related webinar with Vonna Lau, who is a CPA, and she has many years of working with churches churches through these types of administration issues. And Tracy's going to share more later about how to get these resources. But for now, we're going to spend a few minutes together diving into, as Dan, you shared, painting the picture of success. We're going to talk about three of those keys to success when it comes to expense reimbursement. So how about you get us started here with the first key to success?
Well, Michael, absolutely. Working with churches across many years, I've found that one of the big problems is when a church views expense reimbursements as a component of the pastor's salary. Think about this all too common example. The church pays the pastor a salary of $75,000 per year, plus fringe benefits of $20,000. Expense reimbursements are paid of $10,000 to the pastor. So the salary, fringe benefits, and expense reimbursements are reflected in one subtotal on the financial statements, giving the illusion that the pastor's compensation is $105,000 instead of $75,000. That's a big difference. A related issue is where to reflect expense reimbursements on the church financial statements. Too often, every reimbursement of a pastor's expenses are identified with the pastor. In reality, many expenses a pastor incurs relates to other lines in the budget. You know, for example, if the pastor buys some supplies at the office supply store, those expenses should probably be charged to office supplies. But too often, churches track every expense incurred by a pastor against the pastor's expense account because the church has imposed a dollar limit on that account. I would suggest that there is a better way, and we'll discuss that in a moment.
Well, you're so right, and I think recently when we had an opportunity to be at a church finance seminar with some pastors and also some lay leaders, that was a common frustration point that was being expressed by some of the pastors who were there. So you made a great point, Dan, that fringe benefits and those expense reimbursements should not be described as pastoral compensation. And again, to do so leaves that inaccurate impression about how much the pastor is being paid. You also alluded to the fact that there may be something like artificial limits that might be imposed on expense reimbursements. So can you tell us about that next key to success for these reimbursements?
Yes, Michael, far too many churches impose a limit on how many dollars the church will provide in expense reimbursements to the pastor. In contrast, the goal of every church should be to reimburse 100% of a pastor's accountable expenses. You know, I understand why a church with limited resources may want to control expense reimbursements, but think about the downside to this practice. First, unreimbursed pastoral expenses virtually have no value to the pastor. Only those who itemize their deductions get any benefit from unreimbursed expenses, and even then, there is a 2% of adjusted gross income offset. So if a pastor's reimbursed expenses generally run $10,000 a year, and the church is only reimbursing $5,000 because of an artificial limit, the better stewardship approach would be to prospectively reduce the taxable salary by $5,000 and reimburse the additional $5,000 of expenses, which are tax-free. That could save as much as $1,500 or $2,000 per year in taxes. And then finally, if a pastor has $10,000 of accountable expenses and the church only reimburses $5,000, does the church really expect the pastor to stop making hospital visits and performing other duties which require expenses on July 1, halfway through the year? Of course not. But that is the message the church is sending when it only reimburses 50% of the expenses.
Wow, I think those are some really powerful examples, and I'm just imagining all the pastors who are out there listening to this podcast nodding an amen in agreement to some of those, Dan. So I think we've got a little more time here. Why don't we move on to our third key to success when it comes to expense reimbursements?
All right. Well, for our final expense reimbursement issue, we have reimbursing expenses that are not church-related. You know, this issue is so important because only church-related business expenses are eligible for reimbursement. So if a church reimburses ineligible expenses, they are improperly distributing tax-exempt funds as tax-free when they're really fully taxable, and that's a big deal. Where are some of the sticky wickets on expense reimbursements? Well, let me just share a few. When the pastor turns in out-of-pocket medical expenses to be reimbursed under the Accountable Expense Reimbursement Plan, of course, that's a no-go. When the pastor turns in travel expense for a spouse and the spouse's expenses do not qualify as bona fide business expenses, that's a problem. When the pastor turns in expenses 6 months after the expenses occurred, well, Michael, you know that would never happen.
Never.
In IRS Publication 535, there is considerable help on determining which expenses are business expenses and therefore eligible for reimbursement. But still, common sense and judgment are required. You know, recently I heard of two examples where common sense did not seem to play a part. You know, the first one was a church is in a state where church purchases are sales tax free, and the pastor forgot to take the proper documentation with him regarding the church's sales tax exemption. Therefore, the pastor was charged sales tax on a purchase for some items for the church. But when the pastor came back to the church and turned in the expense documentation, the church treasurer refused to reimburse the sales tax. And if that one's not enough, let me share another one. A pastor and spouse and three teenagers took a prospective church attending family to lunch with their two teenagers. Discussions ensued about how the church would be a good fit for the prospective family. The church treasurer refused to reimburse the meals of the pastor's three teenagers because she did not believe that constituted business expense. You know, these two examples received a response that I often use. You must be kidding.
Well deserved.
Fair play and reasonability on the part of the pastor and church treasurer will result in a trusted relationship.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think some of those observations and those examples really bring this whole issue to light. And so thanks, Dan, for the great job on those. We're just going to recap here what we've learned so far about our three keys to success when it comes to expense reimbursements. First of all, we learned that expense reimbursements should not be viewed as compensation to the pastor. If expenses indeed qualify for reimbursement under the IRS guidelines that Dan shared, that means they are really church-related expenses and should not be left as a burden for the pastor to carry. The second great key that we learned today on the podcast is that artificial limits should not be imposed on expense reimbursements. We learned that when church-related expenses go unreimbursed, that means that the pastor is usually the one who suffers, and they have very limited opportunities to gain any tax benefit from trying to claim these unreimbursed expenses as itemized deductions. The final key that we learned when it comes to success with expense reimbursements is that churches should only reimburse church-related expenses and not personal expenses of the pastor. On this note, we should be very sure that we're following IRS guidelines on what expenses qualify as church-related. And then when it comes to those gray areas, as Dan shared, reasonable judgment should be used, and we should be mindful to always be above reproach. With that review of our topic from today, it's now time for the Answers to Your Questions segment. So Dan, can you tell us, what questions do we have lined up for today?
Yes, Michael. First, we have a question about mileage tracking. And one of the things that I found is that many pastors do not keep and turn in their mileage records for church-related mileage simply because they don't keep the records.
Right.
And
right.
That is such a shame when there are so many apps available for mileage tracking. There are a number of free ones. They may be what they're worth, but there are others that are relatively expensive. But in between, one product that we've heard good things about is TripLog. You can buy a $15 a year version, or the $25 a year version will actually allow you to scan receipts in addition to keeping the mileage log. And so I would encourage pastors to use a mileage tracking app, turn in the mileage, and get reimbursed for that mileage. The second question is, what church management software is best for our church? Well, having a CMS, or as often referred to as a church management system, in place is critical to excellence in church administration. But the answer of which system is best really depends on the needs of your church. Our friend Nick Nicolau of Ministry Business Services, an author of Church IT, Strategies and Solutions, a book published by CT, offers an annual review of some of the leading church and donor management software systems on the market. His summary is organized based on infrastructure features, accounting features, and non-accounting features, and we would love to provide a link to that helpful resource and to get that information. Just email us at podcast@ecfa.org, and we'll be very happy to provide that information.
All right. No, thanks, Dan. I know that summary that you mentioned from Nick, that has been tremendously helpful to so many churches across the years, kind of takes a lot of the hard work out of doing some of that research. So we've got another question here on a different note, and that is related to church board minutes. And the question is there a preferred way to record meeting minutes, and should we focus on capturing very specified information during the meeting? Understanding that we cannot record everything in its entirety, we're always striving to improve processes. Thanks in advance. So that's really an excellent question, and it's another area where we have a good resource on this topic. It's available to ECFA certified churches, and it's in our Knowledge Center. The white paper is called Recording Church Board Minutes, and in that document, we have a discussion on specifically determining the level of detail to include within board minutes. We also have a sample set of minutes if those might be helpful. I know that document may not be available to all of our listeners since it's for ECFA members only, but here are a few pointers and takeaways that I thought might be helpful that we can draw from that resource. And the first is really, in this area, like so many others, it's all about balance. And the reason why I say that, just referring to some text from this white paper, we say that the minutes should contain sufficient detail so that if legal issues were to arise, the minutes would document the corporate body's prudence and responsibility in its decisions. However, on the other hand, minutes that read like a novel may subject the organization to undue liability should those minutes become discoverable in litigation. So again, once again, it is very, very important to establish balance when it comes to the level of detail. The same resource that I mentioned, it also highlights the key factor to consider this area is a doctrine. It's a legal doctrine called the business judgment rule. And so we say that in deciding how detailed minutes should be, consider how a court might judge the board actions if the minutes were examined. And again, as we said, most courts use the business judgment rule to decide if directors are carrying out their duties. And then just one last pointer in this area. We often recommend that it's a helpful practice to have legal counsel reviewing the board minutes. And that can be especially important when some of the discussions might involve potentially litigious issues or if there are significant finance-related issues that are being discussed by the board. So I hope that those considerations are helpful to those that are wondering what the appropriate level of detail is to be included in their church board minutes. So as you can probably tell from the podcast, we love providing insights and resources on questions like these. So if you have a question that you'd like for us to tackle in a future episode of the podcast, please email podcast@ecfa.org, and we'd be happy to take those questions in an upcoming edition of the podcast. But right now, what we want to do is, we mentioned earlier in the podcast a new ebook that ECFA has published, The 5 Essentials to Excellence When It Comes to Reimbursing Ministerial Expenses, and we also talked about a webinar and some other great resources. So we're going to ask Tracy, ECFA's Director of Church Engagement, to tell our listeners how they can get access to a lot of these great resources.
Well, thanks, guys. And that was a terrific podcast today. It's very important information for churches and pastors, and will definitely make a difference in how they're functioning. To accompany this podcast, we have several terrific resources, as Michael mentioned, on the topic of expense reimbursements. Our 5 Essentials to Reimbursing Ministerial Expenses ebook contains details of how to create an accountable plan and includes a sample plan, expense report and receipt samples, income tax reporting information, and more. Our Five Essentials to Excellence with Ministerial Expenses webinar on demand is full of more valuable information and includes the consequences when a church fails to adopt and follow an accountable plan. Both of these great resources are available free to our certified church members and is part of the sampling of resources available to our Church Excel subscribers as well. If your church is a certified member displaying the ECFA seal, a fillable expense report form is also available as an exclusive benefit by logging on to ecfa.church and visiting the Financial Management Resource page in our Knowledge Center. The heart of ECFA is to enhance trust in your church. More great webinars, ebooks, and Knowledge Center documents are available to help you do just that. And any church can subscribe to Church Excel, our free resource subscription for pastors and church administrators. It's valued at over $500, and Michael, over 1,000 churches have already subscribed to Church Excel in just a few short weeks.
Wow.
So sign up today. It's at www.churchexcel.org. Or for more information on demonstrating your church's integrity and how you can display the ECFA seal to your givers, please visit the Join page on ecfa.church or call Michael Martin at 1-800-323-9473, and he will be happy to answer your questions. Dan and Michael, I'll let you all finish it up.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy. As you shared, we are so encouraged by the growing number of Church Excel subscribers and also new ECFA church members. We hope resources like the ebooks and the webinars in this podcast are really helpful to you. You know, as always, Dan, we like to offer some encouragement at this point as we kind of close out the podcast. So what scriptures come to mind today as you think about what we've shared?
Well, Michael, one verse that does come to mind, which I believe relates to the faithful administration of resources, including handling expense reimbursements well, is Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And I know that our listeners today want to be trusted with very little so they can be trusted with much.
No, thanks so much, Dan. That is really encouraging. We want to say thanks again to everyone for tuning in, and we look forward to being with you on the next episode of the podcast as we discuss some unique Social Security issues that apply just to ministers and to other pastors. And in the meantime, if there's anything that we can do to help you or your church, don't hesitate to reach out or visit our website, ecfa.church.